The message is titled today, An Holy Church. An Holy Church, beginning in Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Praise the Lord for that statement. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and their goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their bread with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We want to look at the lifestyle of a holy church, which is the first church of the Lord Jesus Christ, from opening day. This record here includes from opening day to perhaps about 50 years later in the book of Acts. And these, we hear a lot of folks preach today about opening day and all the great things they had on opening day, but the church has got so weak and deficient in its spiritual, their spiritual vitamins have become weaker, and our spiritual acumen has become weaker, and our spiritual sensitivity and everything else, it seems, is weakened down until we don't even resemble the early church in any facet. And we must look at the lifestyle of an early church that we can produce the very same effects upon our generation that the early church produced upon theirs. This church was accused of turning the world upside down. Well, I tell you, you sure don't hear much about anything like that happening anymore. This church was accused of going out and stirring up rebellion against the Roman Empire, claiming that they had a king who was named Jesus, and all the other religious people of that day said, hey, these people are preaching insurrection against Caesar because they have another king who's named Jesus. Well, after all, aren't we strangers and pilgrims in a world that we don't belong to? If the Lord has saved us, he's called us primarily to come out of the world. Come out and be separate, saith the Lord, in all those scriptures that I won't get into. But showing us here the characterization of the early church in a lifestyle that certainly the church of today has not emulated. And we must have the power, the unity, the love, the faith, and all of these characteristics that made this a great church and a church that shook the Roman Empire, the world empire of their day that they were citizens of, to its very foundation. And I want to call your attention to the greatest scripture that characterizes the early church, and that is found in verse 44 of Acts 2. And all that believed were together and had all things common. All things common. That means they shared. Oh, Lord, what a love. I've never seen much of that kind of love exhibited in this end time church. And the Lord's going to have that love back in the church. And he's got all kind of plans and all kind of experiences that he is going to bring the church through to bring us back to that first love, to bring us back to that first unity, to root out the divisions and the love for the world out of the church, and to bring us back to the holiness of the early church and the fear of God that was on the early church, and to bring us back to that oneness of heart here, having all things common. And of course, there's another scripture. I'll just refer to it briefly in Acts 4:32. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own. And here's that statement again. But they had all things common. They had all things common. They shared everything. Well, I don't want to speak just so much about sharing material things. I think those things are relatively minor compared to the sharing of spiritual and, the things that refer to the spiritual and the things that have to do with the things of the Spirit of God, the spiritual things. I mean spiritual needs relating to the spirit of man and also to the things relating to the things of the Spirit of God. Those are the things that made the church strong. But their lifestyle was a lifestyle of eating their meat in gladness and singleness of heart. And as the Bible said in the first two verses of Acts, the second chapter, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. There was a unity there that we have never seen duplicated anything near about in the church of the end time. And is God pleased with a church of the end time that has no resemblance to the church of the early reign of Pentecostal power? Will God accept the church that is so weak and worldly in the end time of the greater and more profusely outpouring of the Spirit of God or the latter reign? Will God accept a church of the latter reign like it is today when it has no comparison to the church of the early reign? The answer is no. He will not accept it. And that will be more evident as the next 3 and 4 up to 5 years progressively carries us toward the rendezvous with that great appointment with a prophetic revelation of the Word of God called the Great Tribulation Period. And the church is going to wise up with a sidewinder missile type of judgment beside their insensitive heads and find out that we're in the tribulation to their utterly shock and amazement and bewilderment. But we must then be ready to hold up the word of life and to be a lighthouse in the midst of this rising darkness and to lift our voice like trumpets to help save the people that are insensitive to these prophetic truths in the Word of God. God is going to have a church without spot or wrinkle for the bride of Jesus Christ, His Son. So to get that church without spot or wrinkle, He must provide the conditions and the experiences to bring us back to that unity that's expressed in Acts 2 and 1, in one accord and in one place, and Acts 4:32, of one heart and of one soul, they had all things common. One of the great characteristics of this early church was their love for each other and their hospitality, that they just loved to share one another's fellowship. That's not common among people today. Most church people like fellowship when they go to church. When you get out of the door and shake hands, they rub and wash the fellowship off, and that's all there is till the next time. You know I'm telling you the truth. Ain't nobody need to say I'm not. That's about the end of the fellowship. You ever go home from church on Sunday, you shook hands with everybody, say, well, I got one to eat, but I first got to wash the fellowship off. Well, that's all right. You ought to wash your hands before you start eating them biscuits and licking the ham gravy dripping off the ends of them. You know, I kind of like to eat with my fingers when I'm home. I like this modern restaurant style, like Jack in the Box, and a lot of these restaurants for drive-in. You can go in there and get your French fries and your hamburger and onion rings and eat them with your fingers. Praise God, fingers before forks. I always said that. Yeah, but it's good to wash your fingers. You don't want to be licking off the Kentucky Colonel's good old finger-licking good chicken or something other, you know, the juice, until you've washed your fingers. But I'm speaking about something that is more vital to us than that, and that is that we wash off many times the fellowship of that service after church is out. I've had a lot of preachers tell me, brother, when I get through with church, I'm through with it until the next time. I'll tell you, that's a pathetic thing when we end our fellowship there. Well, let's look at the church's lifestyle, the holy church of the book of Acts. And this was a holy church, by the way. Holiness was in evidence in everything they did. Now, they continued daily with one accord. Praise God, they were in one mind and one accord, just like they were on opening day. And it lasted for quite a while. It lasted for a long time. But even at the end of Paul's lifetime, we were beginning to see the deterioration of that love and that unity and the holiness and the fear of God and so forth that was in that early church. But on opening day, and subsequently for many years thereafter, this church was characterized by having all things common. And they shared their meat with gladness and singleness of heart in breaking of bread from house to house. I'll tell you, that's one of the things that must be revival of it in the church of today, is that God's people need to lose their old selfishness and that selfish attitude, or at least they manifest toward one another in all of our excuses.